We're going to start a new series this morning entitled Graceful. And it's a series that I've been sort of thinking about and kicking around in my mind for a while. And we're going to focus on what does a grace-filled life look like? And grace is certainly something that's important to us as a church. It's part of our name, Grace Gospel Church. It's part of the name of our fellowship, Grace Gospel Fellowship. We are strong on the grace message that we are saved not by works, but by grace through faith. We focus on the dispensation of grace and what God is doing today in the world. But sometimes we might overlook what ways does that grace work its way out in our everyday lives? What does it look like to be a gracious, grace-filled person? Our theme verse is kind of going to guide us throughout the whole study. Comes from 2 Peter chapter 3:18. And it tells us that we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so each week we'll look at sort of a different aspect of a grace-filled life. And this morning we're going to start with the idea that grace should fill us with gratitude. And so turn with me in your Bibles. We'll look at a passage in the Gospel of Luke, Luke 17, and we're going to look at verses 11 through 19 this morning. Luke chapter 17, 11 through 19. A grace-filled life is overflowing with gratitude. And that's going to be our focus here today. Luke 17, verse 11. Scripture tells us that while he was on the way to Jerusalem, that is Jesus and the disciples, while he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we know that we have many, many reasons to be filled with praise and wonder, and gratitude for what you have done for us. Lord, you have poured out the riches of your grace into our lives. The fact that we are here this morning and are able to have a relationship with you is only because of your grace. And Lord, we pray that we would be challenged through your word this morning to have hearts that are overflowing with thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, we know it doesn't take a lot of effort to tell someone thank you, but it is so easy to forget. After I graduated from college, Charity and I moved into a new apartment. My final semester, we had been living with friends. And finally, I was able to get a full-time job, and we were excited. We could get out on our own, and so we boxed everything up. Some of our stuff had been in storage and here and there. And so we got to the apartment and moved in and carried all the stuff in there. And it takes a while to unpack. You don't just unpack instantly. It takes weeks and maybe months to get everything where it's supposed to be. And there were a few boxes in the corner in a closet somewhere that just kind of never got opened. And, one day we decided, well, let's finish unpacking. Let's open those things and put that stuff, find a place for that stuff. And I was kind of sad when I discovered what was in one of those boxes. I looked in, and there was a brand new package of thank you notes still in the wrapper. And I realized those were the same thank you notes that I had bought to send out to my friends and family who came to my commencement, my graduation open house, those who sent cards and letters, and those who brought gifts, and people who made food and helped decorate, and so many people showed their love and support, and I really did appreciate everything that they had done. Somehow it slipped my mind to send out those thank you notes. And I felt horrible about that. It was, oh, boy, you know, I didn't want them to think I wasn't grateful. And I guess maybe I should have sent out two cards, you know, thank you and I'm sorry. And I got to thinking, you know, maybe there's a market for a different kind of card, you know, belated thank you. I don't know. Maybe I'm onto something here. I'm going to call Hallmark tomorrow. But not only do we forget at times to say thank you to others, but sometimes we forget to express our gratitude to the Lord. God is good, and he's blessed us. And he continues to bless us in our lives in many different ways. We know that we're here today only because he's given us the gift of life. We know that the sun rises every morning only because God is faithful. If we have food and shelter, it's because God provides for our needs. If we've entered a relationship with the Lord, it's only because he's offered us the gift of everlasting life. Everywhere we look, we find evidence of God's generous love. And so if we've experienced the depths of God's grace, our hearts should overflow with unceasing praise. But sometimes, for whatever reason, it slips our mind. And that was the case here in our passage in Luke 17. We read about a group of men who failed to give thanks. They had come to Jesus with a tremendous need, and the Lord was willing to help them. He performed a miracle, curing them miraculously of their leprosy. And we might have expected they'd be jumping up and down, shouting for joy, throwing a party, you know, that they would just be singing songs. But instead, they disappeared without even uttering a simple thank you. 10 lepers were cured, but only one returned to give praise to the one who healed him. And as we think about those men, I think most of us can identify with the 9. At one point or another in our lives, we've taken God's blessings for granted. Maybe we failed to give honor where it was deserved. But that's not the pattern that we want for our lives. We want to be the one who falls at the feet of Jesus, grateful, in awe and wonder for all that he has done for us. And as we compare those two responses, you know, the guys who went away and didn't say thank you and the guy who came back and did, I think we see some principles that emerge. You know, what is it that fills a heart with gratitude? Well, first of all, grateful people recognize their blessings. We see the things that God is doing and has done in our lives. We pay attention to those things. Again, in verse 11, we read, as he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God. In the ancient world, leprosy was a dreaded disease. And sometimes scripture uses the word maybe to describe a whole host of different conditions, but they were all bad. Leprosy afflicted the skin. It would cause white patches or sores. And if that wasn't bad enough, those who had been infected had to live out the rest of their lives in isolation. They didn't want to contaminate others, and so they had to leave their homes, their families, their village, and the life that they had known. Now, it would have been a sad and lonely existence to be a leper. And so when these 10 individuals see Jesus passing by on the road, immediately they shouted, you know, have mercy on us. They wanted to be cured. And Jesus listened to their cry. He had compassion for them. And he could have chosen to heal them instantly. You know, often that's how Jesus worked. You know, there was a case where he just touched a leper and, you know, the guy's skin was just instantly restored. But that's not how he chooses to work here. He wanted them to do something first. He tells them to go. Now show yourselves to the priests. In the ancient world, in ancient Israel, the law said that if a person had a disease like leprosy, before they could be readmitted back into society, the priest had to check them over and make sure the condition was gone. Sort of like maybe you take your child to the health department if they have chicken pox, and you get a note from the doctor there that says, okay, it's all gone, they can go back to school now. And that's sort of what the priests would do, look them over and say, okay, you know, the condition is gone. Now you were unclean, and now you're clean. You can go back home. You're fit to return to your old life. So Jesus said, go, show yourself to the priest. It was almost like saying, a miracle is on its way. By the time you get there, you will be cured. They had to trust the words of Jesus, that God would provide, that the Lord would follow through with his promise. And sure enough, he did. On the way, as they were going, they were cleansed. And we don't know how far they had made it. Maybe it was a couple of steps. You know, maybe it was a couple of miles. I have a feeling it wasn't too far. But as they were going, instantly, you know, immediately, their body was healed. And the individual here that turned back, he saw what had happened. He felt what took place. You know, the sores were gone. You know, the white patches had color. Places that were numb had feeling. Places where there were pain, the pain was gone. It was like his body was refreshed. His skin was like a little baby. He was well. And he saw that. He noticed the Lord had performed a miracle. It's hard to imagine that the others hadn't also noticed the same thing, but maybe they were in so much of a hurry to get to where they were going that they didn't stop. After all, they wanted to go home. They wanted to rejoin their family and their friends. They weren't willing to make time to pause and to thank the Lord. Sometimes I think we're in such a hurry in our lives that we don't always notice the blessings that God has shown us. We have places to go and people to see and things to do. We can be so focused on what's going on right in front of us that we miss the wonders of God. You know, imagine a family who's on summer vacation and they're driving across the country and they happen to be passing through a beautiful scenery. Maybe they're driving through the mountains in Tennessee and every turn there's just another gorgeous view. But they're in such a hurry to get to the goal that they don't stop. They don't pull over, and there's these signs, scenic lookout, but they just go right by them. And the wife says to the husband, hey, let's stop over here. This looks like a great place to have a picnic. And he just steps on the gas, No, we're making great time. We don't have time on our itinerary. I've got this all scheduled out. We need to be here by 5 o'clock and there by 6. And it just doesn't fit into that itinerary. She says, but how am I supposed to take pictures? Can't I take some pictures? Sure, he says. Roll down the window, Snap them as you go by. And she tries, but they're all blurry, They just don't slow down and enjoy what's all around them. What a shame, to be on a journey like that and not even enjoy what's all around you. And sometimes that's how we go through life. We need to pause. Take time to notice the different ways that the Lord is working in our life. Every now and then, stop and enjoy the beauty of his creation. Look up at the stars on a clear night. And just say, Lord, just thank you for what you've made. Enjoy special moments with your children. And just say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this family. If we're not paying attention, we'll fail to appreciate the blessings that we've been given. Psalm 103 tells us, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things. The psalmist is encouraging us to look at all of the benefits that we've received in the Lord, all that we've been given, all the good things that God has done. And he gives us a list to get us going. But don't stop there. Recognize how blessed you are. I think about a man maybe who's doing devotions one day, and he's got a million things to do. I got this project and this project. Don't have a lot of time to spend with the Lord today. And so he just reads the chapter, as quickly as he can. And he closes the Bible and he doesn't really let it sink in. Oh, I've read that verse before. I don't need to spend a lot of time here today. Oh, but we need to let God's word sink into our hearts and to realize, just to reflect and meditate on the good things that God has done for us. The message of God's salvation is a message that should never grow old, but we should be excited every time we hear about what the Lord has done for us. We need to recognize how blessed we are. We also see in our passage that grateful people remember the source of our blessings. We know, we realize and understand where those good things have come from. Again, in verses 15 and 16, we read, one of them, one of the lepers, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. This man remembered who made him well. It was the Lord who had accomplished this good thing. How could he not turn around and go back and thank the person who was responsible? And so he lifted his voice in praise, and he celebrated the glory and the power and the majesty of God. And he threw himself at the Lord's feet, and he was humbled, saying, thank you, thank you, thank you for what you've done. Now, I'm sure it's not that the other men doubted that Jesus performed the miracle, but apparently they were just happy to be cured. It didn't really matter to them who cured them. They weren't really interested in going back and entering a relationship with him. They had what they wanted, and they could move on. It's important for us to remember that every blessing we receive ultimately comes from God. He deserves our praise. And so when you look out the window and you see a bolt of lightning flash across the sky, you shouldn't tell yourself, wow, Mother Nature is putting on a great show tonight, isn't she? No, you know, this is a display of God's handiwork. He's the creator. We should honor him. Thank you, Lord, for the beauty of what you've made. When you feel the love of your family and friends, we shouldn't just tell ourselves, oh, I guess I'm lucky. You know, fate has smiled upon me. No, that's a gift of God, and we should honor him for that. When life is going well, we might be tempted to pat ourselves on the back and say, boy, all my hard work, all my energy is really paying off. Oh, we can't take the credit. We should thank the Lord for blessing us. If you walked into your house one day and there on the table you notice there's a big package, a big gift, and it has your name on it, you wouldn't think that the gift just appeared out of nowhere. No, that it just sort of magically materialized. You would realize that somebody put it there. Somebody was thinking about you. Somebody who had you on their mind and on their heart, and they want you to enjoy this. And so you would search for a tag or a card. Where did this come from? Who brought this? I want to know who to thank. And we should also, as we look at this world, as we consider our lives, we should realize that there's someone who's blessed us, and it is the Lord. We don't need to search for a card, because Scripture tells us that it is God who has expressed his goodness to us, and he expresses himself to us each day. In the New Testament, James tells us, do not be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Well, Scripture reminds us that God is generous with us. He is the giver of all good things. Every gift, no matter how big or small, comes from him. Why does he give good gifts? Because he loves us. And he cares about us, and he delights in showing us mercy. And so we need to remember where those gifts have come from. He is the source of all good things. Our passage shows us that grateful people also realize that blessings are not owed. Now, we don't necessarily deserve the good things that God has done for us. He gives them to us graciously. Verses 17 through 19, Jesus responds to the man's praise. He says, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. We can almost picture the scene in our minds. You know, here comes this man running down the road, excited, shouting for joy, and he throws himself at Jesus' feet, and the disciples and the crowd and whoever else was standing there must have been looking down the road, thinking, oh boy, you know, any moment now, here come the rest. It's going to be a big party. You know, they're going to be loud. They're going to be shouting. They'll be jumping up and down, and be a big worship service that's going to break out. Here they come. Any minute now, I'm sure. they'll be coming. I'm sure they're following. Maybe they stopped, you know, for a minute. Okay, anytime. No, nobody. No, no one else came. Just this one man. Not half, not a handful, but one. And it's not that the Lord was belittling the worship of this man at all. Jesus was pleased with his response. He was glad to receive his praise. But at the same time, he was sad for the others because they were missing out on something greater. Now, Jesus wanted not only to cleanse their body of leprosy, but he wanted to cleanse their heart of sin and offer a greater gift, the gift of salvation. But only one man would experience that day. It's sort of like an evangelist who, you know, who's speaking to a crowd and he gives an altar call and only one person responds. And, you know, the evangelist is excited for that one person who responds. But his heart is aching for the others who didn't respond. Now, the passage points out that the man that did respond was a Samaritan. And that seems to suggest that the others were not, that they were Jews. And maybe that was part of the reason that this man was so overwhelmed. Because he realized, as a Samaritan, he was an outsider. That he had no claim to the blessings or the promises of Israel. He had no claim to Israel's Messiah. And yet, the Messiah was willing to show him mercy. The same mercy that had been shown to those other men. And that humbled him. He knew he wasn't worthy. He knew he didn't deserve it. And yet he found grace. But we don't know what the other men were thinking. It's possible they just expected that Jesus should heal them. After all, if he was the Messiah was supposed to come doing miracles, raising the dead, healing the sick. They were sick, so he should just heal them. We don't know that was their attitude, but it could have been, and that's the way many people think. They just assume that God should bless us. That's what he does. He's supposed to solve our problems and answer our prayers and make our lives easier, isn't he? There's a sense of entitlement that expects the Lord to respond a certain way, the way that we think he should respond. But if that's our understanding of God, there won't be much gratitude in our hearts. Well, it's always nice as a parent when our kids say thank you. You know, when they show appreciation for the things that we do, instead of just expecting us to do things for them. Now, we enjoy doing things for our kids. You know, we love them. But it's kind of hard when they're not grateful. You know, I think about a little boy maybe who's sitting at the dinner table one day. You know, and dad comes in with a plate, says, "I've got your favorite, you know, meal here, PB&J, peanut butter, jelly. Made it just for you, buddy. Here it is." The little boy looks at it. His arms are folded, you know, and it's obvious that something's wrong. "What's going on, buddy? You love PB&J? "Dad, you didn't cut the crust off." Right? Who's ever heard that one? "You didn't cut the crust off like mom does. You know, I can't eat this, Dad. This is disgusting. This is nasty. There's crust there. I don't put crust in my mouth. Go take it back. Bring it back with no crust." You know, the dad's like, "Okay, son, you know, just remember, there are boys and girls all over this world who have little eat, and they would love that PB&J with or without the crust." Yeah. You know, and sometimes that's how we treat God. You know, he pours out his kindness on us, but we're not impressed because we imagine that's what he's supposed to do, isn't it? We just expect him to give us those things. We think we have a right to those blessings. We need to understand that God does not owe us anything. He's not obligated to show us mercy. But everything he does is an act of grace. And we should be humbled and amazed. We did nothing to deserve his favor. He's not paying us back for something that we've done. God gives us gifts purely because he is gracious. I love the passage in the Old Testament when David is considering the things that God had done for him, and he listens to the promise of what God is about to do and will do in the future. You know, and David does not have an entitlement attitude. David is humbled, and he prays to God, and he says, "Who am I, O sovereign Lord, and what is my family that you have brought me this far? Who am I, Lord, that you would be so kind and so gracious. You would give me such wonderful gifts. I'm nobody, Lord. You know, and here, this is David, the king of Israel, and yet he realizes he's not worthy of God's gifts. He didn't do anything to deserve those gifts, but God has given them graciously. We are saved by God's grace. We are alive because of God's grace. We enjoy many wonderful blessings because of God's grace. And that should cause us to cry out, "Who am I, O Lord, that you have brought me thus far?" Our passage this morning challenges us to have hearts that overflow with gratitude. We need to take time to count our blessings. Make that a pattern in your life. I read a book a while back about a woman who decided that she was going to keep a journal. She was just going to start documenting, you know, some of the things that God was doing in her life. And sometimes the simple things that we just maybe take for granted or don't notice. And so her goal was to write down at least three things every day that God had done for her. You know, like just the laughter of her children, you know, the taste of a cup of coffee, you know, just those kinds of things, simple things we might overlook. And after a year had gone by and she looked at her notebook, you know, there were over 1,000 blessings that she saw God had bestowed on her. And she realized that those were just the ones that she had written down in the book. You know, 1,000 things in the course of that year, and even more than she had counted. And that just changed her perspective. Wow, God must really love me if he has blessed me that much. And maybe that's something that you might think about doing, and we might think about keeping a praise journal and just counting our blessings, just naming them one by one, looking at all of the ways that God has shown his life to us. Maybe that will help make it a pattern in our lives. We can also thank God in the moment. What I mean by that is don't wait until later. When you just see God working, don't wait, you know, until, okay, tomorrow at my devotion time, I'll praise God. No, thank him right now, you know, just right in the moment. You know, you're sitting out on the deck and you're just enjoying the breeze. Just stop and pause and say, "Lord, thank you just for this day. Thank you for your gifts. Thank you for your creation." You know, if we wait until later, we might forget what God has done for us. And so praise him now. And then remember the generosity of the Lord, that none of those gifts are things that we deserve, but they all come from God's grace. And when we realize that, when it sinks in, it changes our attitude. It humbles us, and we are grateful for all of the ways that God touches our lives. Let's pray. Father God, this morning, we are challenged to follow the pattern of that one leper, that one man who experienced your grace and who responded with gratitude. Lord, we see how his heart was filled with wonder in awe and amazement because of what you had done for him. And Lord, we want to have that kind of heart. And we confess that sometimes, Lord, we overlook the blessings that you've shown to us. Sometimes we just lose sight of the ways that your goodness is expressed in our lives. Sometimes we focus on the negative and instead of seeing all of the good things that you are doing. And so, Lord, we pray that you would direct our hearts and turn our hearts to have an attitude of worship and praise in all things every day. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your gifts, and especially, more than anything, the gift of salvation that comes by grace through faith because of the cross of Jesus Christ and the resurrection from the dead. And Lord, help us to focus on that each and every day of our lives. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your love and mercy. We pray these things in the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.